that's fine. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. We are going to be starting with our program, which is going to be running the whole week. And I'm sure because we just came out from a long 2 weeks leave as honorable members, we are energized. We are going to be able to have the zeal and the eagerness to want to deal with the report that will be taken before us. In welcoming members from the department, officials from the department and from the AG's office and the media, I would like to say that what we're doing is the interest of economic development of the Republic of South Africa. As we can see that we are highly challenged in terms of the global economic issues, and at our at the core phase of all these other things is make sure that we deal with social economic issues and make sure that we're able to move transport issues, we're able to make sure that our communities understand matters that are transport related. But critical is how do we make sure that as we are dealing with the report, we factor in the challenges of poverty, the challenges of unemployment, and the challenges of skills development, because as South Africa, we are one of those countries which actually has got minimal when it comes to technical skills. Not just we are talking about transport issues, we should be able to take cognizance of the fact that transport is one of those areas that needs skilled people, because in every other avenue of transport you need people's technical skills, people can be able to venture in those avenues. So, as we will be doing this, we should be able to say, can we sufficiently say that in the past 20 years there is transformation that we are seeing, and can we be able to say we are going to make sure that we move and shift radically towards creating jobs as a Department of Transport and in every other institution that is aligned to this department. Having said that, the team transport is here, and I'm sure they are well known to you. We, at the extreme, we've got Honorable Nzinga, we've got Honorable Keita, we've got Honorable Teko, we've got Honorable Mulaudzi, we've got Honorable Kadere, we've got Honorable Ramatakana, we've got Honorable Boshier. Who's not here?
What happened to you?
Apologize. Mabika also apologized. We've got two apologies, but in between this meeting, Honorable Keita will be in and out of the meeting, so as she leaves, don't be surprised, she has already advanced. Honorable debaters will be joining us very soon. I'm going to request the person who will be representing the AG to make a presentation, and for sure the coming 1.5 hours we would really want to interact with the presentation, and we're giving ourselves 2 hours at most to deal with the presentation that will be coming from the AG and see how we can be able to deal with that. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, officials of the department, good morning. I'm Vinay Lambali from the Auditor General. I will be doing part of the presentation, and one of them is our business executive summit before they go through the end part and the closure. Honorable Chairperson, what I will be doing is I will be presenting on the site, but I will refer you to the documents I will be reading notes. For relevant pages as we talk to the slides, so we have all documents together. If we move to slide 2, which touches on our reputation policy, here I want to touch on the work that talks to enable oversight, accountability, and governance. And our hope is through this presentation, we hope to give the portfolio committee some information, so that it can execute its oversight function, and then by executing the mandated function, it is trusted that there will be improvements overall in the audit outcomes of the portfolio. If we move to the next slide, we focus on the audit outcome for the transport portfolio. You will notice that we put three pie charts there. The one that talks to financial statements, the second that talks to compliance with legislation, and the third one that talks to performance reports. This slide read together with information that contains from pages 2 of the briefing notes. That's read together with that. On the financial statements, what we're looking at there is we're looking at whether there were any qualifications, and you'll note that there was one entity, that's the RTMC, that was qualified on the area of asset management. On compliance with laws and or legislation, you'll note that we've got 8 entities, including the department, that had non-compliance with relevant laws and legislation, and you have 4 entities that did not have non-compliant matters. Under performance reports, we're looking at 4 entities, that's including the department, that had concerns around the usefulness and the reliability of the performance information that we reported on, and there were 8 entities that did not have concerns with performance reports. If we go to the briefing notes, Honourable Chairperson, on page 2, you'll note the audit opinion history with the various colours. The colours green means that it is unqualified with no findings on predetermined objectives and compliance. Then the yellow means it was unqualified, but it either had findings on predetermined objectives and or compliance. The pink-purple talks to a qualified audit opinion, and then the red talks to a disclaimer of opinion. So you'll note that on page 2 of the briefing note, the audit opinion history, the 5-year reflection, you'll note that the department over the 5 years has maintained its audit status of being unqualified with either findings on predetermined objectives or compliance with laws and regulations. In the 13-14 financial year, the department was unqualified with both non-compliant findings and finding on the usefulness and the reliability criteria on predetermined objectives. Then we go to SANRA, the South African National Roads Agency, in 13-14 financial year. Again, it was unqualified with findings on compliance with laws and regulations. Then the Railway Safety Regulator, it maintained its status of being unqualified with findings. South African Civil Aviation Authority was a clean audit, which means it was unqualified with no findings on compliance and no findings on its performance reporting. SAMHSA was unqualified with findings. The RTMC was qualified in the 13-14 financial year, and the area of qualification on the first pie chart on financial statements talks to the qualification of RTMC on its asset management. The port regulator was unqualified with findings. The Road Traffic Infringement Agency is one of your improvers in the portfolio because it moved from unqualified with findings to a clean audit. Then you've got the Road Accident Fund, which maintained the clean audit status for the 13-14 financial year. The Cross-Border Road Transport Agency was unqualified with findings. The Driving License Card Account maintained the clean status, being unqualified with no findings. And then PRASA, the Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa, was unqualified with findings. The details of exactly which areas of findings will come through later into the documents, Honourable Chairperson. If we turn to page 3 on the briefing note, the briefing note, page 3, will tell you which were the qualification areas, which entities had findings of predetermined objectives, and which entities had findings of compliance with laws and regulations. So if we look at column that's run 13-14, you'll note that for RTMC, in the 13-14 financial year, assets were the problem. The rest of the entities and the department were unqualified. But then if we go into performance reporting or predetermined objectives, as we refer to it, you'll note that the Department of Transport in 13-14 had findings on predetermined objectives. Then we had for SAMHSA, we had findings on predetermined objectives. For the Road Traffic Management Corporation, we had findings on the performance reporting, and a cross-border road transport agency, also findings on performance reporting. That talks to the number 4
in the bottom pie chart. So four entities that includes the department that had findings on performance reporting. And if we go to the next area, which is compliance with laws and regulations, you'll note there we've got a number of eight, so eight including the department. So the department had, we had significant findings on compliance with laws and regulations. SANRAL also, findings on with non-compliance with laws and regulations. The Railway Safety Regulator, we've had findings on compliance with laws and regulations. SAMHSA, Road Traffic Management Corporation, the Ports Regulator, and Cross-Border and PRASA. PRASA is on page 4. Also findings with compliance with laws and regulations. So that talks to that slide, Honorable Chairperson. And then if we go to page 4 of the briefing notes, that's where we cover in detail what is the nature of the finding for each of the entities. And if we start with the predetermined objectives or performance reports, on page 4, it's titled Key Focus Areas 3.1 is predetermined objectives. And there we give you the detail of what was the nature of the finding on predetermined objectives. So let's start with Cross-Border Road Transport Agency. You'll note that we've had two findings there. The one talks to the reliability, so where we say a total of 50% of the indicators are not verifiable. And then, so that talks to the usefulness criteria. So SMART principle, the indicators did not meet the SMART criteria for cross-border. And then we look at the reliability criteria, where we say that the information that was provided to support how they achieved the target or the reflection on the achievement of the target was not sufficient from an audit point of view. So we hence had a concern that the reporting on the performance information was not reliable. For the Department of Transport, the first finding there that we had was on the performance indicators, they were not well defined and the targets were not specific. So again, talking to the SMART criteria. So hence we've had a problem on that. And then the second finding that we've had for the Department of Transport was around the reliability criteria, again, where the evidence was provided to us to support the achievement of the target was not sufficient from an audit perspective. You'll note that we covered the finding, we've covered the root cause, so we tell you exactly from an audit perspective what we think went wrong that gave rise to the problem, and then we put in a recommendation, things that management can do to try and improve the situation. Later on in the document, we'll come to what the Honourable Member and Honourable Chairperson as Portfolio Committee you can do in terms of your oversight. Then we move on to the Road Traffic Management Corporation. Again, our findings on performance reporting. Performance indicators that are not well defined and were not verifiable. Again, the SMART criteria issue comes in. The reasons for the variances. So where they say they're going to achieve something and they haven't achieved, they haven't put in a reason as to why they didn't achieve. And then the third point, talking to the reliability criteria, again, where information that was provided was deemed not sufficient from an audit perspective to support the reported performance. Then the next entity that we had concern on performance reporting was the SAMHSA, South African Maritime Safety Authority. Again, targets that did not meet the SMART criteria and the evidence submitted for audit was not sufficient. So talking to the reliability criteria. Honorable Chairperson, that talks to the bottom pie chart in terms of the detailed findings on performance reports. And if we can move on in terms of the slide presentation, we're moving to the next slide, which talks to assurance levels. Here we assess the assurance that the various role players provide in terms of the audit outcome. So you'll note that we assess assurance levels provided by senior management, the accounting officer or the accounting authority, the executive authority being the minister. Then we're looking at the internal audit and audit committees, and finally the portfolio committee. So you'll note that the reflection of assurance provided is that it talks directly to the audit outcomes, where we've got provide some assurance or provide no or limited assurance, especially around the areas of senior management accounting authority. That talks directly to the audit outcomes. and the providing some assurance talks also to the reflection on audit outcomes in the portfolio generally. So that's our statement of assurance provided by the various role players. If we move to the next slide, which talks to the key controls. Under this, we're looking at the key drivers of internal control and how these would influence the audit outcomes. And what we say is, if all of these were working well, there should be clean administration. So we're looking at it from three areas. We're looking at it from the financial statement area, we're looking at it from performance reporting, and we're looking at it from compliance with legislation. And we're looking at key things. We're looking at leadership in terms of leadership effectiveness. When we talk about leadership effectiveness, what we're looking at is leadership taking action to address the prior year audit findings, making sure that the entity or the department has the required skills and competence. Is action being taken against transgressions that happen and repeated transgressions? And in terms of leadership effectiveness also, do they actually review compliance and other matters in a timely manner and also regularly? And then the next broad area we're looking at is under financial and performance management. And then there we're looking at, is the daily disciplines there of reconciliations, making sure that records are kept for all matters that are in the financial statements or in the performance reports. So what we're saying, Honorable Chairperson, is if all of these things are working well, then you should have clean administration across the entire portfolio. But you'll note that our reflection on the key controls and key drivers of controls talks directly to the audit outcomes. So you see lots of yellows and a few reds around record keeping. When we talk about record keeping, what we're saying is that it talks directly to the performance report, where sufficient evidence is not kept to support what you say you've achieved. The daily and monthly controls, processing and controls, talks directly to the misstatements in financial statements. It talks to the issue of asset management. Reviewing and monitoring compliance talks directly to compliance with legislation. Is there regular reviews of compliance, of monitoring compliance in entities or departments? The audit action plans, you see a lot of yellows there because there hasn't been significant movement in the portfolio. So what we're saying is action is either not being taken or it has limited impact. Human resources talks to vacancy management. You'll see it come up in the department when we discuss the key focus areas. So around, and it also talks to the misstatements in financial statements, because here we're talking about a skills and competency issue. So if you've got material misstatements in your financial statements, it talks directly to the issue of skills and competence. If we move to the next slide, which talks to the key risk areas. And when I'm talking to this slide, Honorable Dear Person, I will be referring you again back to the briefing notes. We're looking at six areas. We're looking at the quality of financial statements. Here we say when the entities for the department submitted financial statements on the 31st of May, was it of appropriate quality? Did it meet the requirements of the required financial reporting framework? And here we had concerns around seven of the entities, including the departments. The next area that we're looking at is the quality of the submitted performance reports. Again, when the performance reports were submitted to us, was it of such a quality that we didn't have to go back and request amendments to the performance report? So note that we've had four entities that we had concerns around the performance reports. Under supply chain management, you'll note that here we're looking at compliance supply chain management practices and prescripts. You'll note that we've got a concerning three of the entities. We've got an intervention required for four of the entities. And then we've got a sort of no findings, no significant findings on five of the entities. The details of the exact of supply chain management, if we can go to the briefing document page 7, that talks to the details of the findings that we've had on supply chain management. So there we're looking at the department itself, and the non-compliance matter that we had on supply chain management was related to the extension of IT contracts. So again, we put down the finding, we try and identify what gave rise to the finding, and then we try and make a recommendation. So the whole issue of the IT contract, the extension thereof, under SAMHSA, the second entity with a key concern on supply chain management, SAMHSA, there were contracts that were extended without approval of the duly delegated official. Then under SANRAL, we've had four concerns on supply chain management. And there we're looking at a contract that we awarded that were not in compliance with the civil PFA Act, that's the Preferential Procurement Policy Framework Act. Then we've got the issue around pre-quotations, where SANRAL did not request pre-quotations as prescribed. The awarding of a construction contract that did not qualify, or to a contract that did not qualify to be awarded the contract in terms of the Construction Industry Development Board regulations. And then the issue of the bid adjudication of SANRAL that was not always done by a committee which was composed in accordance with the policies of the entity or the requirements of the Treasury regulation. So what he's saying there is that the bid adjudication committee did not meet the criteria of Treasury regulation and the own policies of SANRAL. Then the next entity on which we've had key concerns on supply chain management was FRASA, and there we've got the issue of the contract to purchase the locomotives. Okay. What he's saying there is the evaluation criteria that was used was not in line with the original evaluation criteria that was stipulated in the request for proposal. And then the second issue is around the performance bond of $307 million that was issued in favor of FRASA, but it was done way after. It should have been done before the contract was awarded, but it was done 4 months after the contract was awarded and after FRASA had done an initial payment. So we're saying that there was non-compliance with supply chain, because in terms of the contract, the payment should have been made before the contract was awarded, but it was only done late. So that's the concern around supply chain management. And then under financial health, if we go back to the slide, under financial health, and financial health is covered in detail on page 9 of the briefing document. So financial health, we've got five entities with concerns, including the department around financial health. And here we're looking at the ability of the entity to continue its operations going forward. So we're saying that with SAMHSA, there's a whole issue of them being able to fund their future obligations because of the deficit that they've incurred in the current year. So whatever revenue they're collecting is not sufficient to be able to pay their expenditure. And that's our concern going forward. The Department of Transport, and that relates to the unauthorized expenditure. The unauthorized expenditure, the details of that will come through later. And that was the whole issue of the maintenance of the INACE contract that was not included in the budget, which resulted in them having unauthorized expenditure. So going forward, should that unauthorized expenditure not be funded or condoned with funding, then the department will have to find savings in order to be able to set off that cost. And that could impact service delivery way forward. The third entity that we've got a concern on financial health is the Road Accident Fund. And there we're saying that the revenue that the Road Accident Fund is getting is not sufficient to be able to meet its obligations in terms of claim expenditure. It is sitting already with a huge deficit over the past few years, and this problem is just getting on. The Cross-Border Road Transport Agency, there's a whole issue of the transport operators challenging the permittees. That was a historical issue. And should it turn out that the cross-border has got to pay back the permittees, then it places financial strain on the agency. And then the driver's license card account, they had a whole issue of the lawsuit against the manufacturing and of the license cards. And the whole litigation issue around that contract places some strain on the driver's license card account in order to be able to meet its future obligations. So just highlighting some financial health concerns. Under human resources, you'll note that there's five entities that we've had some concerns around human resource management, but the one where it's a significant issue is in the department, and that's covered on page 8. Sorry, Honorable Chairperson, that I'm taking you back and forth, but it's just unfortunate the nature of the document is such. So on page 8, we cover what our finding on human resource management, and as I said, it was the department. And here we've had the issue of posts not being advertised within 6 months and not being filled within 12 months of becoming vacant. There was one appointee that did not have the required qualifications and experience, and where the one where the prescribed selection and approval process was not followed for the appointment. So this is the department that we've got a concern under human resource management. If we're moving to IT or information technology, covered on page 9 of the briefing document, IT controls, we're looking at, there's concerns generally in the portfolio around IT controls, and we say that there has been some movement, but there's still some way to go in order to make sure that the data that is provided is of such a nature that it is it meets the requirements for audit purposes. Also on page 93.6, Honorable Chairperson, we cover the material misstatements to the financial statement, which talks to the first FISA, the quality of the submitted financial statements. I did say that we have got concerns with 7 of the entities in the portfolio, the first one being the Department of Transport, and there we had concerns around the closing note for irregular expenditure, commitments, provisions, accruals, etc. And that was the whole rollout of the new modified cash standard. There was some delay in the rollout, but also it's an issue related to training within of the people that are required to compile those financial statements. The Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa, we've had concerns around the quality of those financial statements. We touched on the root causes. And again, it touches to the skills issue that I spoke about earlier, the skills and competence issue, where people are not applying the required financial reporting framework, they're not trained, it could be a skills issue as well. The Ports Regulator of South Africa, the whole issue of disclosure notes, and that was, again, a skills issue, people not understanding the requirements of the financial reporting framework. Railway Safety Regulator, again, a concern around the disclosure notes. I'm on page 10, Honorable Chairperson. The Railway Safety Regulator, again, a skills issue. RPMC, the account balances, and for trade and other payables, receivables, intangible assets, and then the whole issue around the revenue for the after infringement fees. Again, this is, in the RPMC case, it was management over-reliance on consultants. And then the whole skills transfer issue. So you rely on consultants. When consultants walk away, can you stand on your own? And that was a concern that we picked up on RTMC. On SAMHSA, it was disclosure notes and a certain of the expenditure lines. Again, a skills and competence issue, where people are not understanding the requirements of the financial reporting framework. SANREL, the account balances that we've had concerns with was inventory, the payment structure, classes of transactions, the unstatement of the violation process in revenue, and the disclosure notes around the fair value information and irregular expenditure. Again, it's a skills issue where people are understanding the requirements of the financial reporting framework, skills and training issue, both together. Honorable Chairperson, that's the risk areas, and I've given you the details around our concerns around all of risk areas. If we move to the next slide, which talks to our assessment of what is the thing that is causing a lack of movement in the portfolio generally, and we looked at 3 key root causes or 3 key things that causes the outcomes not to move in a positive direction. The first one being key officials lacking appropriate competencies. I think we touched on that in terms of the financial statements, also around performance reporting. Slow response by management talks to the issue of taking action to address audit findings and taking the required action that has the positive movement. Instability or vacancies in key positions. It talks to where people are acting, you've got this whole uncertainty, you've got vacancies in key positions. So these are our assessment of the key matters that is causing this picture in the portfolio. If we move on, Honorable Chairperson, the next slide talks to the status of key commitments, and these are key commitments that we received through our engagements with the Minister. Those in the green block have been implemented, and those in the yellow block are in progress. So we're looking at those that are in progress, implementation action plans to address prior audit findings, managing takeover of major IT-related contracts, the management of vacancies, not only in the department but generally in the portfolio, contract management to avoid this whole issue of supply chain management non-compliance, and then also enhancing performance and consequence management. So what we're saying is transgressions are happening and nothing happens further. Those were the commitments. Honorable Chairperson, we move on to the next slide, which talks to the oversight model. It follows from policy development into your strat planning, then into operational planning and budgets, where the entities, the department set specific performance indicators for themselves and allocate resources. Then in the quarterly reporting process, that's a quarterly assessment of how you're performing against your annual performance plan. Then the year-end reporting, where we come to the annual performance report and the annual financial statements. And then we're at the stage now where we're talking about monitoring and taking corrective action. So we've been through the process of the 13-14 audits. The outcomes have been presented. So in that phase of taking action or taking corrective action, and then the whole accountability issue, and then moving back into the cycle. So that's the oversight model, Honorable Chairperson. Then we move into the next slide, which talks to how does clean administration improve service delivery. And here we're looking at three blocks. We're looking at robust financial and performance management systems. What are we talking about there is, are the systems transparent and stable? Is there effective budgeting and planning processes? Information management. Is it information that is useful, that can be acted on? And are there strong internal audit capabilities? So the whole robust financial performance management systems. Then the second block, which talks to oversight and accountability of all, they're talking about people being held accountable for actions through the various oversight processes. So through your audit committees, through the executive authority, through your role also as the portfolio committee. And we're talking to the next block, which is commitment and ethical behavior. And we'll be talking to visible commitment by all role players in the public service and impeccable ethical behavior throughout all the actions that is taken. And then in the middle there is the independent and relevant reporting by the Auditor General. So what we're talking about there is us as the Auditor General, we come and do the independent review. We give you an assessment of what's happening in terms of financial management and also performance reporting and compliance. And then also through the process of auditing is we try and add value. So through the identification of the root causes, what is giving rise to the problem, and further on making recommendations as to how this can be improved. And if all of those are working fine, then it should improve, it should go to a clean administration and improve service delivery. So making it a better life for all of Africa. Okay. In the next slide, Honorable Chairperson, is we're looking at things that the, and this is just recommendations from us, the Auditor General. Obviously, we don't want to tell the Portfolio Committee your role and your mandated functions, but these are just general some recommendations that we'd like to make in terms of performance monitoring. Is the question to ask is the strategic plans and annual performance plan aligned to National Development Plan? Does the entity have enough resources? So it's pointless saying you're going to achieve a target, but you don't have the people, or you don't have money to achieve that target. Then how are they making sure, or how the entities are making sure that the annual performance plans will be achieved? Is there regular reporting? Is it either monthly or quarterly? When you're reporting quarterly and you're not achieving the target, what action is being taken in terms of corrective action? Portfolio committee should review the quarterly progress. So through the quarterly interactions with the entities and the department, it's assessed how is the entity or department performing and how is it contributing to the National Development Plan. And then the Portfolio Committee should review the annual achievement of predetermined objectives by entities, and that's through the annual report process where the various entities and departments come and present you. And Honorable Chairperson, you did mention that it is a full week, so I think this is happening as well. Before I hand over to my business executive, I just want to cover a few things that's still included in the briefing note, which we might not have touched in detail. And I'm moving to page 12. And this is where we give you the details of unauthorized expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and irregular expenditure, generally in the portfolio. You'll note that the Department of Transport has got the unauthorized expenditure, and that was as a result of the Inatus maintenance costs, which was not included in the budget. You'll note the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and the two that I want to touch on, which is the two biggest ones, is the department and SAMHSA. The department was the issue of services that were paid for but not delivered, and an overseas trip that was undertaken that exceeded the authorization. In SAMHSA's case, it was a case of they had a lease contract on a building, they moved to a new building, and they didn't cancel the previous lease contract, and they're bound by that lease contract. So they're incurring a fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So they're not losing the building, but they're paying for the lease contract. On the irregular expenditure, the two biggest ones is department and then SANRAL. And it's all to do with the non-compliance with the supply chain management. So in the case of the department, the extension of the contract. In the case of SANRAL, it was there were a few issues, but the biggest issues, I think, were the non-compliance with the FFA Act, which gave rise to the irregular expenditure. And then the other entities are listed in there. Honorable Chairperson, I will now hand over to my business executive to cover the remaining part. Thank you.
My love is where I focus on the justice rate, which talks to the key issue that we as the AG felt that if the committee could focus on would like to in the details of the right of the hotel. Okay, I'll do that, sir. All right. My name is Kami, and the president of the executive body of the SRB. I'm heading the body of the transport portfolio, the finance portfolio, the international relations portfolio. Honorable Chair, in the assessment that we've done, and based on the key controls that we have area one, and just to tie it to what you mentioned area one when you said the economy needs a host, if we think about it, most of the stuff that needs to be done in order to ensure that the economy is going to exist in the transport portfolio. And in the commitment that we require from the portfolio committee, we said, for example, the first issue was to monitor the agency management in the whole portfolio to ensure that all the positions appear with appropriately skilled and competent people in the center. That talks to the key controls that my colleagues put on the table area one. Because we need one implement our controls to ensure that we use the whole governance. But if you don't have people to ensure that that process is driven with the required skills and driven with the required level of knowledge, you're not going to gain those efficiency that you're not going to get to the improved outcomes. Then the second issue is the need of the monitoring of the implementation of action plans to improve the whole outcomes. The department normally, department of entities provide section plans, which is how we're going to be addressing the agency findings. However, the focus needs to be a focus of say, these action plans, we're making them our daily routine, not here just to satisfy the whole personnel, but here to improve our management of the department. Because if the objective is to make the whole industry ready, and not to be about the mandate that is required, we still want to pay as a country, that's what we need to do. Those action plans need to be talking to issues of the people as well, because this is where we're trying to go. If we look at the NDP, for example, those goals need to be distilled into something meaningful that the need of the department and entities needs to be contributing to. Then the last issue that we've heard in the college is that the committee is to request regular feedback from the department on key issues depending on the department and entities as identified through oversight. And I mentioned a few of those. From the department's perspective, I think one key format is how the issue of the inactive is actually dealt with in terms of transferring from the department, from the service provider. And if you look at, for example, issues like Plaza, Plaza is getting up for major spend in terms of the clearing one, we're talking the locomotives and we're talking the trains that are coming into service. And the focus should just be on
whether the experience process is actually took place correctly, but the focus of trial assessment to ensure that those significant numbers of people who is to get to work on time, they are there. It's not a matter of getting trained and then they always run the intelligence and the support. If we look at Sarah, for example, I think one key issue that also needs to be looked at is the issue of how is the issue around housing and resource, for example. In addition to that, will Sarah still be able to ensure that they provide safe homes for all the communities to travel from? Those are some of the few examples that we see that get a portfolio. Those are significant and those needs to be looked at. And Chair, just to mention that in regarding the commitments, we try to keep them to a minimum, say, 3 or 4, but we don't want to go above that, taking into account that the committee is going to run out of 2. But we really feel that if these 3 are just with, we might see significant aid in terms of improving the audit outcomes. But in terms of improving the audit outcomes, which is key for us, actually, to market comes with that. But if you improve all the outcomes only, but the people on the ground are not seeing how the all the outcomes are going to improve those outcomes and trying to improve their lives, we're always going to have discussions of how are we aligning the all the outcomes to the certificate. And with that, Chair, I'd like to close that and from here we'll actually take some questions if there's any questions from the members. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, earlier the presentation has been put forward here. There are some methods that the AG is required for us to take into action and also for the department to look into other things. But maybe to keep up to me would be, as you have been highlighting some of the underperformance from the department, how long has that been going on, particularly on matters of supply chain, on matters legislative matters, which actually has not been complied to everything written on the slide here. How long has that been going on? Has there been any consequences as things were happening? Because I think what is very challenging as people of the public is that many a times there are no consequences when people deal with their duties. And this actually leads to this, the department's not having a team management as anticipated. But also the other thing that may come from me as our Amarawi members to really start working is, I know we haven't spoken to very much to can we be able to say there has been very poor money in some of the things as I'm talking about service delivery. Can we really justify, I've got pictures of some of the potholes that have gone around the city, which actually they have been resurfaced and the first rate they go back to how it was 6 months ago. Can we say that very poor money in terms of service delivery in this home picture and money is being used by the department. So these are some of the things that I think we should be able to look into. It's going. Where do I start? Oblau. Okay. Let me start with Honorable Klaus. I'll give it to Honorable Hadarek. I'll also take from Honorable Bishop. I don't see the hands as it goes to the other part. Honorable Bonsika will be the next after Honorable Bishop and Rantakana, Administrators will follow. Honorable Administrators will follow. And Honorable Ramakana will be the last one. Thank you very much. Like that.
Thank you. I appreciate the presentation, but I just have one question about the insurance policy of the standards of the about the quantity of those internal auditors. Can you share something about those internal auditors?
technician. Oh, Chair, my question to the AG is within your oversight title, I don't see where probably you put the particular aspects of cultural reforms or cultural aspects and the I can see why you put most of the title. But I don't see that particular aspect. Also the engagement in terms of the horizontal and vertical alignment engagement in terms of financial contact. I know that the most particular challenge is the challenge becomes that the horizontal distribution of finances. How do we try to link ourselves in providing probably the monetary aspects? Because I think it's one of the other challenges where I find that the mutualities they can't be able to apply or be able to implement the finances probably that they've been given. So they need to say, how to ensure that the monetary and effective in our aspects. I think you have said this is really the title there on page 9. So yes, right. And the other issue is really the key controls on the outcomes. The challenges of the intervention that is needed, especially on the proper record keeping. I think I'll also shake hands on those that the issue of the fiscal auditors becomes a challenge because it's the one that plays a major role in terms of ensuring that the department complies with the regulation. And once they start not fully fixing the big special issue of the PGMA, they become a challenge. How do we do also to deal with that? And then the other aspect the challenge of the human capacity ensuring that the department shows that they can be the vehicles that gave the challenge. Can you be able to provide to assist us? Then, if the department probably reported that they don't provide the required skills, because the department reported that they received specifically, but the skilled people that they receive, within a short space of time, they resign for another position. And I also asked within the department whether what impact will this have in terms of the audit outcome? Because that becomes a challenge. If that can be able also to be clarified. The other aspect is that the other irregular, I think it's the irregular steps of the first century students, I can't remember which one it is. In terms of the IT contract that the department went through, and also there was a challenge between the judge and the court. And the court said that they must go through that process. And it really worries me. Because the department is a lot of learning. And it is required or pushes the budget to be on an unauthorized expenditure. How can you be able to have department so that you can push some of these other challenges? As well, can they take any particular steps in terms of finding the person that is the one responsible in leading them towards that particular aspect or not? So that's a very key challenge.
Order the general for a report. There's a lot of questions that we want to ask, but it will be of no use to actually ask the order the general. Just one of the points is, if I could maybe make a recommendation for a next report, because if we go to your page 6 and 7, you know, one of the concerns is not attending to, for example, the concerns, not attending to those will lead to the things, to the interventions required. I mean, I think just in future, if I can make a request that we can actually not only have a description of what the pinks are, but also the yellows, if I can put it just in colour format, just in order to make it, because we've got to be proactive, and the departments need to be proactive, and for oversight we need to be proactive. Concerns, for example, if we go to the following page, key officials lack appropriate competency, slow response by management, instability of vacancies in key positions. Now, if we look at the slow response by management, this is something that's been occurring year on year on year. So I think it's also important that we actually have a finding of all the departments, have a finding register, that the committee be provided with that finding register in order for us to be able to follow up on it on a continuous basis. So the rest of the questions will be to the department. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you to everyone here. So my question focuses on what happened with RTMC and the decision that was made in the current financial year to allow them to withhold transaction fees as a category of revenue within the RTMC. And the implications of that decision that was allowed upon an agreement between the department and the RTMC, but specifically the auditing implications, because now suddenly the revenue stream that was allocated and treated in a certain way now is diverted from, and the implications of that on previous years of auditing. Because that was done specifically because of a specific expenditure, which is within a certain category of expenditure and not isolated. What was the role of the AG in that decision-making process? Because certainly it had implications on the mandate, and I would like to get your reaction on that.
Thanks, Chair. I have a lot of questions that I'm going to be asking the agency directly, so it's not always the general answer. But what I did want to ask is, how do the special groups see what the convenes of us? DOT and FDs are not in the shape of the defendants. But what I wanted to ask is, how did this year's report compare to other years, the last 3 years, for example, both in the DOT and the entities? And the other question was, if there were any
Mr. President, my question, the first one, is that in many departments, also in the province, there is a problem of the assets issues. Nobody that qualifies most of the opinions. And it has been going on for too long. So I just want to know from the Auditor General what measures have you put in place to assist the department? Because I don't think it will benefit us to come here and talk about it, but not do something about this issue. So what measures are they using to assist the department to deal with the asset issues when you get involved? Secondly, is the issue of whether there is a competition issue. I think your question is, and I'm making that your question, but also, I also attend to them in the Auditor General's executive capital. You have many qualified auditors. I've also attended to speech also in the political system. They are all concentrated in your office, not necessarily in the department and the agency.
So you accept them for yourself so that you can be able to get shingles or something. My question is, because we are one government and we I think we are the same government, the goals. And yes, it might help, you know, the second some of us to problems and departments and issues to assist rather than come here one day. If problems or maybe should also the other issue is that it's almost 17 public departments of transport, including maybe the department. And I know there should be audit and responses in all of them. And remember then it means we have about 18 bots or 17 bonds. It is a lot. What are they doing? Are they not able to pick this thing up and ask you, what should be their rule? Because my take is, if they can't this to be able to pick up this and wait for the old side of us to get them, I just want to be there. Because first I think, teaching trees and other challenges and other things, so you can finish for something else. I just want to do it too. And also it depends on the governance issue. And the last one is that in terms of being able to not have, I'm too worried about handling some of the things. I know there are some losses maybe we should be checked, but it's not possible to to finish their performance for the next financial year, the current financial year, so that some one is that. It's a matter of information, not necessarily studying the procurement process, which has been absolutely fine.
So thank you very much for the AG presentation. Just a quick two questions that I wanted to just ask. In relation to your slide number two on the notes, if you look at the body of human history, if you look at the block that you refer to as the yellow and concern block, you see that block is fairly big compared to the other block, particularly the green block. Now, in the summary, if you explain that block, would you say that the influence of this particular block is stated as to implement the recommendation or give the suggestions that contained in the management letter that goes through the anti-policy. And if it continues in that particular way, does it influence the mutualistic in terms of the opinion that end up coming from the AG? The second one is when we were talking to the department and there was an issue about what made, I don't know where it was that for, this issue about the outcome of court. I think my neighbor here also raised that question about implementation of the on the perhaps expenditure that was not necessarily on the budget. In other words, it's almost like the unauthorized progress is whole of a category. How was that expenditure going to be treated for the top in taking the opinion of the AG? Because on one hand, the department has to say we not money, don't have the money, but there is also compliance with the cost of service must be done. So how do we just want to get some feedback on that? The third question, which crosses running across various slides, but I think in your notes, it is not that deals with the TFFA, particularly the issue that deals with TFFA, the unauthorized, the irregular, or the fruitless expenditure. What is, I know that, what is in your opinion, like this particular, are you of the view that the need of this particular area, three areas, is going to do with the issue of leadership, or it's going to do with simply the, I don't want to call it the, this, the not man anyway, it's the donkey attitude. But if you're talking about unorganized expenditure, there are mechanisms, perhaps, that are suggested, reducing the mechanism, particularly when you deal with unorganized expenditure. I utilize now to become the parent of the repeat exercise. That goal would be whether it's a prudent expenditure, I don't know whether that's solely the issue of leadership or the oversight generally. There is something that worries me in the presentation is on the irregular expenditure. There's a whole list of things that there's some investigations or subject to this investigation. But if you look at this, it deals with the very sensitive area of supply chain management. Now, I don't know if your dealing with this, it is as you say, because earlier you spoke about skills and people that are not skilled for that. Is it, if you look at it, the one thing I'm worried about it is because it spreads wide in various entities and it's a huge sum of money that is involved. So I just want to find out. When you submit your management letter, there is also conversation that we have with the department. Some of the conversation has to do with the turnaround plan, which has to somehow be seen or be touched that this is a turnaround plan that is going to be able to deliver this result. So, don't you get that kind of feedback in terms of the turnaround plan? That satisfies, and I know that's not your responsibility in terms of maybe so that it happens with the leadership and the department. But somehow, whether it's a lesson, you don't wait for the clarity of the production. The Indian manufacturing aspect has got to do with also the kind of feedback with respect to some of those issues. So I just want to find out from you in terms of is for concern or not necessarily a concern. Because I'm just looking at it and this. I don't know. But the other questions really would be lots to do with the department. But I just want to understand the issue from the AG side.
Thank you,
Chair. Thank you
very much. We mentioned a lot of us today that I wanted to give to the AG. Honorable Traitor.
It's not really a question. I just wanted to ask in the future for AG to provide us information because it's really great to have got this in the past. Like we've got in the department.
I got it in advance. I don't know what happened to you. It was related to me. A week or so ago.
You were pretty much having the exams.
We were thanking you for that.
Yes.
The consistency, the rigid grade, yeah. But it was sent in advance. The other thing that I wanted to talk to you on page 5 of your slide, the
when we're looking at the key controls, and does they play a devil's advocate, the last one, review and monitoring. When you look at the things that are concerning and where the information is required, there's a possibility of those that are concerning to go either way. But if you make a calculation and try and just whether you take it both ways or you divide it into two, it goes to the good and goes to the intervention required. So you can clearly see that you and monitoring compliance is very challenging. Could it be that the executive management is lax in this regard? What were your observations at the AG? Which actually pulls me back to the question of that you indicated that there was no movement in terms of audit action plan. Could it be because there's no monitoring, proper monitoring and review in terms of the plan that what has been raised by the issue, or is it because there's no action plan by the department to be able to address matters that have been raised by the AG in this instance? What are the kind of things that you need? And I can also take other ones and just look at them randomly. So what is it that you are picking up as you're doing what is them in high school in the department, so that we're able to know which batteries to press, so that we're able to really do some of the issues that are predisposing themselves. Because when you don't plan, you will see that there's regression in certain ways, in certain issues, which actually is an indication that there is no monitoring, there is no reviews, somebody is not checking compliance with respect to certain problems that they are being dealt with. Thank you very much. I'll throw it to you first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. We'll thank all of your questions. In terms of the question as to how long has the department or these issues been carrying on, the whole non-compliance issue, the findings on the predetermined objectives, and perhaps if I can refer you to page 3 of the briefing note, where we do cover the 5-year history. It's the briefing note, Honourable Chairperson. Page 3 of that, where we cover the 5-year reflection, and you'll see that for 3 of those 5 years, the department had concerns on predetermined objectives. If we're looking at the 19 financial year, the 10-11 financial year, then there was a gap, and then the 13-14 financial year. On compliance with laws and regulations for the past 4 years, the department has had concerns with compliance with laws and regulations. So that's the first thing. The issue of consequences, has that been taken? I think it goes back to our whole issue of the key root cause as to why things are not moving. And it would point to repeated transgressions and nothing's being done. So if you ask me, we haven't really seen consequence management. The next question, is there value for money in spending by the department? I think the only way you're going to evaluate value for money, Honorable Chairperson, is if you do a performance audit on a specific focus area. Through the normal auditing process, yes, we try and build in aspects of value for money, but we wouldn't be able to conclude effectively, yes, there has been value for money, yes or no. Okay. In terms of the next question, the internal audit capacity, if we can look at page 4 of the slides, Honorable Chairperson, there we looked at the assurance levels and the assurance levels provided by the respective role players. Internal audit generally has been providing assurance, and you'll note that there's 5 entities or departments where there's limited or no assurance. So in terms of this picture, our assessment, internal audit is there. Yes, it is there, but in terms of the levels of assurance, it's varying across
the departments and the entities. So that is our assessment of internal audits. The oversight model, if we can go to the oversight model, and the question around where does quarterly reports fit in, that's slide 9. Our feeling on quarterly reporting would be the implementation and in-year reporting. So under in-year reporting is where we'd expect that quarterly reporting takes place, either quarterly or even monthly reporting. So that is our thinking in terms of the oversight model as to where quarterly reporting would take place. And then the next question around the monitoring of finances, the equitable share and the spending by the municipalities, that's the allocations in terms of DORA and the transfer payments that is made by the department to either the provincial departments or to the municipalities or to entities. That whole monitoring aspect should be done within the department under the various branches. So if it's a transfer in respect of roads, for instance, then the roads branch within the department should actually do the monitoring around that spending. From an audit perspective, we actually test does the municipality report in accordance with the requirements of the transfer that was made. So from an audit perspective, we actually just test the compliance aspects of it. But the actual spending would need to, or the actual monitoring as to spending of it would have to be done by respective branch within the department. Under the key controls and the issue around the proper record keeping and what is the role of internal audit, I agree with the Honourable Member that internal audit has got a big role to play. They sort of the second level of defense, if you can call it, in terms of the combined assurance model, because you've got the management on the one side, then you've got internal audit committees as the second line of defense, and then we come in as the third line in terms of the combined assurance model. And definitely internal audit has a role to play. I mean, they can do this on a monthly basis to test whether there are sufficient documents, the information that is kept, is it credible, does it talk to the financial statement? And it goes back to this picture of our assessment of assurance on the internal audit. So you can see they are doing some things, but I agree they can be doing more. And that would assist in changing the whole picture. The next question around the HR capacity, the department's vacancies, the ability to attract skilled people, and the impact on the audit outcome. Vacancies, ability in leadership is two of those three key root causes that we spoke about that gave rise to this picture, and yet it does have an impact on the audit outcome. So if you don't have the right people, you don't have the right skilled people, yes, things are not going to be done. People that are acting in positions over extended periods. I mean, that creates instability because today you're in an acting capacity, tomorrow could be back to your normal job. So who takes accountability? So it affects the audit outcome overall. Around the issue of irregular expenditure, the extension of the e-Nexus contract, how can we help, and the steps to find the person responsible. We look at it in terms of PFMA compliance, and we're testing compliance in terms of Public Finance Management Act. So the extension of the contract, and also we look at National Treasury practice notes when testing supply chain management. And from an audit perspective, it is a non-compliance issue. We understand the whole issue of the court order and the fact that the department was put in this position. But from an audit perspective, we audit we test compliance in terms of Public Finance Management Act and the National Treasury prescripts, and that is a non-compliance matter that we've identified giving rise to irregular expenditure. In terms of how we can help, I mean, it's not really us that makes those decisions. I think it's between the department and the other role players, like the Office of the Accountant General, like National Treasury, that can engage on these issues and try and reach some conclusion on this matter. That's as far as I would touch on that matter. In terms of the recommendations, a description of the yellow, we take note of the Honourable Member's requests going forward. We will try and expand on the yellow and provide you the detail on the yellow as well as, rather than just focusing on the rates. The next question around the findings register and the reporting back to the portfolio committee. I think that is part of our recommendations, or part of the commitment that we want from the portfolio committee, is that through your oversight process, is when you engage with these entities and the department, is in terms of what are their action plans, how far are they, and what steps are being taken to correct these matters going forward. And touching on the key issues, I mean, you don't need the details of every single audit finding. I mean, if you're looking at the key issues, you look at compliance matters, supply chain management compliance. What is the cause of that non-compliance matter, and what steps have you put in place? Performance reporting, through the quarterly reporting process, how credible is this information? You're coming and telling us you've achieved 99% of your targets. Is there something, talk to key indicators. Let's see the evidence of you actually achieving that target. The whole issue around asset management, if an entity is concerned with asset management, have you done your quarterly reconciliation of assets? How is it going? What are the key concerns? So, just touching on the monitoring from the portfolio committee's perspective. The next question on the RCMC, the withholding of the transaction fee, that was in terms of legal opinion, and in terms of our role in the decision, we didn't have a role to play in the decision because it was a decision based on legal opinions, consultation with National Treasury, and ultimately it was decided that RCMC keeps the transaction fee. In terms of implications on the previous year's audit, there were no implications because in the prior years, the transaction fees were actually paid over from the RCMC to the departments. It's only in the last year or year and a half that they stopped paying over the transaction fees, and that's given rise to the unauthorized expenditure in the department. The next question around the comparison of 3 years, if I can refer Honourable Chairperson again to the reflections on page 3 of the briefing document, and you'll see the whole reflection as to what happened, where are the areas of concern, who's the repeat transgressors under the key areas. So typically if we look at, we did touch on the department, the non-compliance over the last 3 years. The railway safety regulator the last 5 years has issues on compliance. The same with SAMHSA, RTMC, and port regulator. So the history is in terms of that picture. And also on page 2 of the briefing document where we've got the various colors, you can see a reflection on where things have moved and things haven't moved. Things have moved in a negative way for RTMC, for instance. But in case of the Road Traffic Infringement Agency moving in a positive direction. The next issue around asset management, the measures in place by the measures in place to assist the department. Honourable Chairperson, you've got to respect that we've got to be independent of this process. We make recommendations as to what we feel could assist the department or entity to improve. And part of our recommendations is about regular reconciliation. Maybe a monthly ad hoc reconciliation or a quarterly reconciliation, a mid-year full reconciliation. And we also assist through interim audits that we do. So when we're looking at interim audits, we test asset management. And if we identify issues there, I mean, that gives the department or the entity time to go back and correct. So that come year end, if the problem is corrected, then it doesn't become a significant issue. The next question around skills and competency and seconding of staff to the entities or departments. Honourable Chairperson, we're not allowed to second staff. Again, an independent issue. But we are a training organization. And through our training accounting scheme, we do develop skills within the Auditor General, which either moves up within the Auditor General or goes out into the public sector. There's quite a few people that you see in the public sector that come from the Auditor General. So we are contributing to that pool of skilled people in the public sector. What are the boards and audit committees doing to assist and improve audit outcomes? I'd refer you back to our assessment of assurance. Honourable Chairperson, you are right that they have a critical role to play. They are key in making sure that action is taken to address issues. So audit committees and boards, yes, definitely they've got a role to play. Some are doing well and some not so well. So if we're looking at audit committee assessments, you've got a 6-6, so 50-50 split in terms of effectiveness of audit committees. If we're looking at accounting authority, that would talk to the boards. You can see the split across. It's there are some that are effective and some that are not effective. So there's going to be a role to play. And before it gets to the levels of your oversight over the portfolio. So the next question around the assisting to speed up procurement processes, that would be great, Honorable Chairperson. If procurement processes can be done earlier, then things get sorted out earlier. And then you move into implementation rather than moving through processes. So we cannot influence that process, unfortunately, from the Auditor General. It is in terms of the entity or department's demand management plan. So tabling the demand management plan, I'm sure as part of that process, I'm not sure whether the committee has sight of the demand management plan, but maybe it's something that you want to look at so that you can try and influence timely procurement or timely procurement processes. The next question around the audit opinion history and the question around is it related to failure to implement recommendations and impacts on future audit outcomes? It is related to, because as part of our board root causes, we talked about slow response by management, and slow response by management in terms of taking action to address issues. So failure to implement recommendations, yes, it's causing the problem. And how will it impact future audit outcomes? It could get worse. If no action is taken, things that are small this year could become bigger next year. So you could see a regression, definitely, if no action is taken. The implementation of the court decision, I think I just touched on this issue, the whole e-natus transaction fees. It gave rise to unauthorized expenditure in the current year. And in terms of how it will be treated going forward, that's a decision that National Treasury takes. Unauthorized expenditure, unfortunately, is a decision that National Treasury will take, either condone with funding or condone without funding. So that's a separate process that has to be followed between the Department and National Treasury. The next question around the unauthorized, irregular, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And the question was, is it related to leadership or is it a don't care attitude? It talks to leadership effectiveness because it goes back to leadership taking action to address these matters, implementing consequence management, with the whole issue of consequence management, where people transgress laws and regulations which give rise to these matters of fruitless and wasteful or irregular expenditure. What is being done about this? Are key officials being held accountable when these transgressions happen? The unauthorized expenditure, the mechanisms that are used, as I said, the unauthorized expenditure is a process that is followed between National Treasury and the Department in terms of PFMA, to either condone or not to condone. PFMA and Treasury regulations is quite explicit in terms of action that should be taken against transgressors. So obviously that is not happening. It's either happening and having limited impact. So that's something that should be carefully monitored. The whole irregular expenditure and investigations around SEN non-compliance, that's linked directly to the irregular expenditure. So where SEN is not complied with, there are investigations, but what comes after the investigation is in terms of future actions. And maybe that's something that the portfolio committee could monitor. The feedback on the turnaround plan and in-year monitoring, yes, we do receive the action plan of the respective department or entity. But responsiveness, the quickness of the response times, the effectiveness of the implementation of those recommendations, it goes back to the issue of stability, key vacancies, skills. If you don't have that, I mean, you can have the best action plan, but if you don't have those things in place, you don't have leadership that is effective in taking or implementing consequence management, things aren't going to move. The request to receive the information in advance, Honorable Chairperson, we will try and meet that recommendation or request. The key controls, the review and monitoring, and the question around is management or executive management lax, audit of action plans, lack of movement around that. Again, it's also the skills issue. If you don't have the right people, best action plan, nothing moves. Consequence management, and just generally not taking corrective action. Have we caused those things to happen? Honorable Chairperson, I have trusted that I've tried to answer all of your questions. I'll just give to my business executive to have any further input from you may have. Thank you.
Chair, I think when you look at the written document, we'll see that when it comes to compliance and everything, and that the department and our entities, the good appears as if they wanted to pay to the findings of this. And that talks to the nature that we went through on the issue of the slow response. Because when you get the conclusion that it was slow response, we looked at issues around using the government that we're reporting them in this. Okay, we reported in the previous year, why did you have the HTTS stand for the department stand to ensure that they follow it? Then I mentioned earlier on that the focus shouldn't be on any of the ones that we but the focus should be in implementing the key controls that will address that particular finding so that whatever leads to the finding does not complete going forward. But then I think that comes with all the levels of assurance. Put the required effort in ensuring that those outcomes become implemented. And in the level of assurance, the body of this committee, for example, cannot be alone. They require information from the first level of assurance, which is the management, the internal body, everyone. And when they get that kind of information, they need to do a proper review of the information that they've been given and put forward the probing questions to ensure that whatever they're going to be signing off on or recommending for signing off is actually correct and credible information. And when you go back to the presentation and look at a number of the areas where we had material adjustments to financial statements, it talks directly to the area of is the internal control process to address those particular areas. Because it doesn't talk about a daily, for example, that is the process correct, in other words, the classification data. The majority of them saw the disclosure notes. And those disclosures, different disclosures that we don't normally necessarily do on a monthly basis, we try to unwind at year end. So for that, you don't have to see the way for year end and start scrambling so that you can have a figure that's going to include what it does. So if you know for requirement the post is actually by the year end, you still need to have a process of keeping that in track. So I come here and you just draw your fund. You say, this is what I disclosed, this is what I posted, the figure that I put on the table. And I want to look at the STM issue. Let the STM issue the challenge. And it's not just a challenge in this portfolio, it's a challenge everywhere. But then what we need to think of is the issue of the oversight as well. And when I say the oversight is that, as rightfully said, the suggestion is that the internal audit, for example, this could be a bigger one. Those things need to be audited upfront prior to our review possible. Like what we have the department do it. Because with the department, for example, if you look at the annual reference plan, we audit them in advance so that we avoid the situation of auditing them right at the end and then coming up with findings which is not going to help. But if we do it in advance, they can correct it so that in the following financial year, they is on no error. But I think the time would be to say how can we utilize the internal police data to give us the results that we want in all those. Because the skill for me lies in that particular environment. And that's the environment which can give us a view of whether we're doing the right things or not. Maybe one thing that I need to mention is in terms of the unauthorized expenditure, the unauthorized expenditure on its own is not necessarily going to have an impact in terms of the audit finding, provided it is properly accounted for, it is properly disclosed, all the facts are put in the financial statements. What we will do as auditors, depending on where done, is the method that is when emphasizing in the audit report. And by the way, when I say emphasize, it's the emphasis of metaparagraph. The emphasis of metaparagraph does not change the opinion. If you only have said nothing else that is important, you can also, so I'm just responding to the question of how is it going to impact the department. It's called impact at all. Proper discourse, supported by the relevant document, and all the facts are put forward. It's called not impact at all. Maybe one issue that I would also like to factor is the issue of decision making and assistance. The issue of the decision making,
we grow only in terms of the positive product, and in that it's fine what we can do, and in that we cannot make management decision or any other decision for that matter, and come again with that particular decision. So that's what you call it, an independent issue like that. But we can provide guidance, which is exactly what we normally do with some guys. So you look at 1, 2, 3 and so you comply with that when we do the requirements. But in doing so, we do not necessarily provide a consulting service. Because you cannot consult and then think about the capital. So if engagements do occur, and it goes to the engagement on the hazard issues for an example. The issue of pressure, we do mention to the departments, we do mention to the entities that you need to have controls that when you buy an asset, for an example, you put that asset on the asset register, you support that asset and follow that up. This is how you do your process. Because if the process are separated in such a way that you're sitting with an asset that lying somewhere within the department has been bought, it's recorded no way. That means someone is not taking care of that particular asset because you don't even know that the particular asset is assigned to them and who takes accountability at the end. It's an issue. Asset has been an issue, and in some instances they continue to be what you call it, an issue that is to be taken care of. And it's unfortunate that those assets are actually the assets that are required to ensure that the mandate that we do matters gets taken upon or those pretty homes gets present. And hence, we need to be certain that all these assets that we're talking about is not just a matter of satisfying the bodies as referred to the statement that we earlier on. It doesn't help heavy trains, for example, if you are proud and those trains are not running. It doesn't help even commuters if those commuters are not helping anyone. They need to be functioning, and in functioning, I mean, there should be productive time that we're getting from those particular assets. And that will talk to that particular area of accountability, and it will talk to the area of
and I think, Chair, that in the issue of the skills, which is my last issue I want to touch on, we, in every world where we go in, when you find that they say this particular mission or so and so, or this director has been doing that, and we fall short in terms of delivering the required documentation to the AGO, and we fell short of confining that particular area. But I think that's something that we can cure, that's something we can get rid of. If whoever works in a particular field or specializes in one particular area, they do transfer their skill to the person they work with. We can do our work with them. And we need to be looking at how do we ensure that our teams encourage this issue of transferring skills. And I talk to the situation of using the consultant. If you're using the consultant, there's nothing wrong with monitoring the consultant. The consultant gives you exactly what you want, because you have to tell the consultant what you want. They must tell you what they want to give you. And in that particular area, they need to be transferring the keys to the officials within the department so that next time you don't go and call them. Because some of them just want to confuse everyone else so that they can come back again and do the work. They will go in their mouth. But we need to get rid of all those kinds of situations by implementing proper control and say, consultant so and so, we appoint you upon the following motion. Whoever you work with, you take them.
Thank you very much. Let's have a 15-minute couple break and then we'll come back. I know my father has other questions. That will be follow-up questions to the AG.
Yeah.